Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, I'm very eager to get right back into the discussion of the inspiration and infallibility of Scripture, that we have been looking at on the Beacon Broadcast over the last little more than a week now. And I will return to that just as soon as I remind you that we are very much prayerfully dependent upon financial support from you, our radio listeners, and we are behind thus far in the year from where we need to be. And if the Lord does not send additional support, we will have to start trimming some of our broadcasts to bring our costs into line with the supply that God has given, and we're perfectly content to do that. We realize that what God supplies is an indication of what He intends for us to do. So this is not a panic plea, but it is an informative plea, and I know that these are hard economic times, and it may be that that's exactly what the Lord is going to use to cause us to scale back. And if so, we're happy to know His will. But if you would like to be a part of keeping the broadcast on the current stations where we air them, then perhaps you'd like to help us. And if so, send your gift to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Well, I've dealt rather extensively with the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture. What that means, what the Bible claims for itself, how the Bible understands that doctrine that we call the inspiration of Scripture. And I hope you've been with us for that study, because now I want to move on to the second area, which is the infallibility of Scripture. Not only is the Bible the inspired Word of God, that is, it is God-breathed, God breathed out the words, God gave the words to men who transmitted them to other men, and God selected certain prophets to deposit His truth to and to use them to transmit it to others. But the product of that is an infallible book. That is, it is without error. Now, here's what the Historic Baptist Confession says about that concept. I'm looking at the Second London Baptist Confession, Chapter 1, Statement 1, and it says, "The Holy Scripture is the all-sufficient, certain, and infallible rule or standard of the knowledge, faith, and obedience that constitute salvation." The Holy Scripture is the all-sufficient, every one of these words is important, all-sufficient, certain, and infallible. And there's that word infallible, and that's why I use the word infallibility. Sometimes we talk about the inerrant Word of God. That would be another way of saying infallible. But infallible is a term that has been used for a long time, for more than 200 years in the case of this particular confession. The Holy Scripture is the all-sufficient, certain, and infallible rule. Rule means standard, and it says that. Rule or standard of the knowledge, faith, and obedience that constitute salvation. And then it goes on to say a great many other things about the doctrine of Scripture. It is infallible. It is without error. So we can talk about the infallibility of Scripture, or we can talk about the inerrancy of Scripture. Now let me give you a couple of statements by theologians, and then we'll get into the Bible itself to support this aspect of the doctrine of inspiration. And I really consider the infallibility of Scripture to be just a subset of the overall doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture. But In our day and time, you've got to make everything clear. And every aspect of the inspiration of Scripture has been contested by somebody or another. So I'm reading first a statement by B.B. Warfield, that 19th century theologian, from his book, The Inspiration and Authority of the Bible, from page 420, and he says, and I quote, "Inspiration is that extraordinary supernatural influence exerted by the Holy Ghost on the writers of our sacred books, by which their words were rendered also the words of God and therefore perfectly infallible." Now you notice that in that statement, if you were listening to it carefully, Warfield combines both the concept of inspiration and infallibility, and he states basically that infallibility is the only logical position if, in fact, the Scripture is inspired. In other words, once you have supported the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture, you really also must accept the infallibility of Scripture. And notice again how he states this. And I quote again, "Inspiration," he's starting with the doctrine of inspiration, "inspiration is that extraordinary, supernatural," I want to pause and talk about every word. Extraordinary means this happened in regard to the Bible, but not in regard to any other book. It's not ordinary. It's extraordinary. You can't explain the Bible like you can explain other books. And furthermore, if that's not clear enough, he says it is supernatural. In other words, it could only be done by God. It could not be accomplished by men. It is a miracle. That's what supernatural means. It's a miracle. This is not something that was produced by ordinary means. Ordinary production of books cannot explain the book called the Bible. The only thing that it can explain it is that which is supernatural. So, inspiration is that extraordinary supernatural influence exerted by the Holy Ghost on the writers of our sacred books, by which their words were rendered also the words of God, and therefore perfectly infallible. Is it a human book? Yes, but it's more than that. Are these the words of men? Yes, but more than that. Their words were rendered also the words of God. And therefore, if they are the words of God, there's only one conclusion, therefore, perfectly infallible. And I will now give you a quotation by a more modern theologian, one who's still living, by the name of Robert Raymond, who wrote A New Systematic Theology of the Christian Faith. And this is page 70 in his book, which is only, I don't know now, maybe 6 or 7 years old, 8 or 9 at the most. An excellent systematic theology. And he is now dealing with the same subject. And he says, and I quote, "The Bible is true, devoid of and incapable of teaching falsehood or error of any kind in all that it intends to affirm." End quote. I read it again. I want you to hear it and to think. The Bible is true. I have to pause. That means there's nothing in it that's false. It contains no error. It is inerrant. The Bible is true. All of it. Every part of it. The Bible is true, devoid of and incapable of teaching falsehood or error of any kind. That's what true means. That's another way of stating true. You state it positively, the Bible is true, and then you explain what that means. It is devoid of, that means it doesn't have any, and incapable of, by its very nature, it could not teach falsehood or error of any kind in all that it intends to affirm. In other words, properly understood. That doesn't mean that you can misunderstand, misinterpret, misuse the Bible, and what you say that you think it means is necessarily inerrant. Because if you haven't understood it correctly, the way God intended it to be understood, the way the authors who gave it were transmitting the intention of the author, the Holy Spirit, if you use it in that way and misuse it in that way, then of course what you have said that the Bible says and what you have said that God says is wrong. It's an error. It's false. But to that degree that you are accurately proclaiming what the Bible intended to say, that statement, that doctrine, that teaching, that understanding, that proclamation is without error. The Bible is true, devoid of and incapable of teaching falsehood or error of any kind in all that it intends to affirm. And I could read others. There's an excellent statement on the infallibility of Scripture in the Systematic Theology of Wayne Grudem, another contemporary author who's still living and has written an excellent systematic theology, but I will not do that now. I think I've given you enough statements, and I'll move on to the scriptural evidence for what I am declaring. And what is the biblical evidence for the doctrine of infallibility? Well, we can start with the very nature of God. And I'm going to read from Titus 1:2. Let's read verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. Please notice this statement about the nature of God. God is incapable of lying. God is incapable of misrepresenting anything. God, who cannot lie. Not only he doesn't, but he can't. It's impossible. It's contrary to his nature. God, by his very character, by his very nature, is a God who is wholly true, who cannot lie. The Bible is incapable of transmitting error because the God who wrote it is incapable of lying. And that's why I say if you believe in the inspiration of Scripture, you have to believe in the infallibility or the inerrancy of Scripture. Because if it is true that the Bible originates with God, if holy men selected by God spoke the words that were given to them by God the Holy Spirit, then what they spoke and what they wrote has to be true. Completely, 100% true. It has to be inerrant. It has to be infallible because it comes from a God who cannot lie, who is himself holy, righteous, not almost holy, not 90% holy and 10% less than holy, not 90% righteous and 10% less than righteous, not 99% true and 1% of the time he lies. No, God who cannot lie. He's incapable of lying. He's incapable of misrepresenting anything. Well, if that's true, and obviously the Bible claims it, that's what the Bible tells us about God. We wouldn't know anything about God except what the Bible tells us about him. And if that's what the Bible claims about God, then again, you have to either believe or reject the claim. If you reject it, you're rejecting God's self-revelation. God makes this claim. God is incapable of lying. Therefore, it's obvious that anything God spoke has got to be true, completely true, 100% true. And if the doctrine of inspiration is correct, then the doctrine of infallibility is also correct. It's the inescapable conclusion. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.